Thank you for your prayers for myself and Pastor Justin as we were away at the Global Gathering. It was a wonderful time to connect with so many international workers, those that are serving the Lord in various places and making such an amazing impact for the kingdom of God. I wish I could tell you all the stories. There were so many times I wanted to pull out my phone and just record what was happening, but I wasn't allowed to for security reasons and some people that are serving in very difficult and hard places. But it's amazing to see how so many people love Jesus and are willing to sacrifice and serve in hard and dark places. And that's a phrase that the Alliance Canada uses, hard and dark places, to describe some of the places around the world that there's great opposition and persecution to the gospel of Jesus. And to be able to make impact in those lands, it takes great sacrifice, it takes great surrender, it takes great vision to be able to be in those places. And just to hear miracles that were happening, provision that was happening, healings that were happening. Some of the things that I heard was like, why isn't more people talking about this? Because of the amazing impact that God is having around the world because of our international workers. And your giving to the Global Advance Fund funds the opportunity for them to be overseas. I'm reminded of a story of one particular family, and they serve in business as mission. And so basically what they do is take their own career and take that overseas to another place, a hard and dark place, a place that maybe you couldn't get into if you were a traditional missionary or traditional pastor like me to share the gospel. And they went to this country, and initially it was very difficult establishing their business, but also making inroads with the gospel. And they shared how in the first many years, not just a few years, but the first many years, it was very, very difficult. They didn't see anyone come to salvation in Jesus. And they struggled a lot with their own business and establishing it and hiring people and getting it off the ground. And that was the only way they could remain in that country. But after a number of years, they started to see the light at the end of the tunnel. They started to see some inroads. And now God has blessed them wonderfully. They have 150 employees, and they're making such a wonderful impact in that nation, sharing the love of Jesus and seeing people come to saving grace in Jesus Christ. As we sang just now, his promises are faithful, and his promises still stand. Great is his faithfulness. And Pastor Justin will come in a couple of weeks and share a little bit more about some of his experiences as well. But it's wonderful to see how people stay faithful to the promises of God, stay faithful to what God is saying, and see the fulfillment of that. And sometimes we won't see it in our lifetime. Sometimes it takes time beyond our own life to see the promises of God fulfilled. We don't like that. We want to see the promises fulfilled in our lifetime. But sometimes it takes longer than our lifetime. And that's what happens here in Daniel chapter 9. And there's a very difficult portion at the end of Daniel chapter 9 here. And you went through a couple of difficult chapters as well in the past couple of weeks, thanks to Pastor Leonor and Pastor David for dealing with some hard chapters. I felt I got all the nice ones. I preached chapters 1 to 6 and had the great stories, and then I left. And then left Pastor Leonor and Pastor David with the tough chapters to deal with. But here's a couple of other tough chapters as well, particularly at the end of chapter 9 is probably one of the most difficult passages in all of Scripture to interpret. And I won't be able to cover everything this week, and next week we're finishing off our series in the book of Daniel. And so I want to let you know that next Sunday in the evening, probably around 8 o'clock, I'll give you more details next Sunday, but via Zoom, I'm just going to host a conversation about the book of Daniel. So if you have lingering questions from things that we've studied throughout the past number of weeks, you'll probably have a lot of questions after today and next Sunday as well. Feel free to join the call and just, share, ask some questions. Not that I have all the answers at all, but we can share and discuss. And so I'm just going to let you know we're going to do that next Sunday evening. Just host a Zoom call talking about the book of Daniel. But in this chapter, we see some promises that God gives Daniel. And we get the benefit of being able to see this 2,500 years later. We get to see some of these things actually that have come to pass thousands of years later, which Daniel didn't have the opportunity to. He was only able to receive it by faith. And so if I'm going to summarize this chapter, I've summarized it this way. God's promises may seem delayed, but he will always keep his word based on his timeline. Humble, scripture-informed prayer and repentance can center us in God's grand plan, narrative, and purpose. And so, friends, I want to encourage you today. Maybe you've received some promises from the Lord. Maybe you have been encouraged by what God has spoken to you, but you haven't seen it come to pass. God will bring his promises to pass. The unfortunate thing for us is that it is according to his timeline, not according to our timeline. Have you ever seen that before? Where God's promised you something and you're waiting, but you might not see it come to pass. It might happen later on. Sometimes things happen in our own lifetime, which are wonderful to see. And as I heard some of these stories from these international workers the last couple of weeks, is seeing how God's promises were faithful and they've seen the promises of God come to pass. It's encouraging and it's wonderful. And sometimes God does that, but sometimes he doesn't. And so God wants us to center on humble, scripture-informed prayer in a posture of repentance, as we see here in the book of Daniel. We see starting from the first part in Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, we see how Daniel responds to God's promises with deep, humble, and purposeful prayer. He understands the promises of God, realizes what God is actually doing, and he doesn't sit back and say, okay, let's just let that happen. No, he responds in deep, humble prayer. In Daniel chapter 9 in verse 3, it says, "So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes." We're in a season of Lent right now, and a season of Lent that is a season of giving up things, but also a season of putting on things. And I want to encourage you in this season of Lent, what are you giving up or what are you putting on? As we're journeying towards Easter, what is something that God is asking you to do or not do? What is God asking you to sanctify, to purify? Maybe it's a time of fasting and prayer in your life. And Daniel here, he turned to the Lord. He pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. It's interesting because in the previous verse, in verse 2, it says, "During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from the reading the word of the Lord, as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. And then the next verse says, I went into fasting and prayer, I went into mourning, I went into weeping. I wonder how many of us respond like that to the promises of God. Maybe God tells you, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And then we just sit back and say, that's a wonderful promise, I'll just enjoy that. Is that our response? Or should our response be, Lord, thank you for your promise. I am going to repent and turn to you more with all of my heart. Maybe God gives you a promise of healing and say, I am going to touch you and I'm going to heal you. And we say, okay, yes, I'll just wait, Lord, for that to happen. And we don't pray. We just say, God, you promised it, so you have to do it. But instead, maybe our posture should be like Daniel, that when we hear a promise like that, our response should be, I am going to repent and turn to the Lord with all of my heart. I am going to seek the Lord with everything that I have because I want to see this promise fulfilled. Does that make sense? That's what Daniel did. Daniel was able to see the promise of God. He saw what the prophet had written, Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said, after 70 years, God is going to come back and restore Israel. Daniel just didn't sit back on his rocking chair and say, okay, I'm going to wait for that to happen. I've been in Babylon for all of these years. By this time, Daniel's an old man, probably in his 80s or 90s, and he's praying here. He realizes this needs to happen. And so because this needs to happen, my response should be, I am going to cry out to God with all of my heart. I am not going to sit back just because God said it in his word. I know he will do it. But I'm going to cry out to God with all of my heart. In Jeremiah 25, it says, this entire land, this is part of the prophecy. So this is what Daniel was referring to when he said, the prophet Jeremiah wrote about this. This entire land will become a desolate wasteland. Israel and her neighboring lands will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years, okay? In Chronicles, it said this way, and this is important. I want you to remember this for point number 4 near the end of the message because this is really important. So the message of the Lord spoken through Jeremiah was fulfilled. The land finally enjoyed its Sabbath rest, lying desolate until the 70 years were fulfilled, just as the prophet had said. This is important for us to understand. Because the reason why the children of Israel were taken into captivity was because they didn't celebrate the Sabbath years. The Lord had told them, every seventh year, you have to take a rest. Every seventh year, you have to take a break. I will bless you on the sixth year and give you enough crops for the sixth year, for the seventh year, and also for the eighth year. Just rest on the seventh year. Don't do anything. But the children of Israel didn't do that. They didn't obey the word of God. They didn't obey the promises of God. And they worked right through the Sabbath rest. And so after 490 years, they had accumulated so many years of Sabbath rest that they had not celebrated. And so the Lord said, I'm going to bring you into the land of Babylon. I'm going to bring you into the land of captivity so that the land of Israel, the land of promise, will have rest for 70 years. The 70 Sabbath years that you should have celebrated, I'm going to give that all at one time. And you go into Babylon and be in captivity. So this is what Jeremiah is talking about. Daniel reads this. This is important when we get to the end of Daniel chapter 9. I'll come back to this. But this is what God tells Jeremiah. Here's a verse that's very familiar to us. Tell me if you've ever claimed this promise before, okay? Jeremiah 29:11. Anyone? Jeremiah 29:11, right? Did you know that it was actually meant for the children of Israel in captivity? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Now imagine, if you got this promise and it was year one, you're 30 years old, 40 years old, you get this promise. Year one. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans for good and not for disaster. But guess what? For the next 70 years, you're in captivity. What are you going to do? You got the promise when you were 30 years old. You got the promise when you're 40 or 50. In the next 70 years, you're going to be in captivity. You might not see the fulfillment of this. You might not see the hand of the Lord upon you for good. But this was the promise given to Israel. If we keep reading, I will be found of you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I've sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. This was the promise that Jeremiah gave to the children of Israel, that the Lord spoke to the children of Israel through Jeremiah. You will be in captivity for 70 years, and after 70 years, I'm going to bring you back. But if you got this promise on year one and you were 50 years old, more than likely, you would not see the fulfillment of this. It would happen beyond your lifetime. It's a wonderful promise, right? How many of your fridges have Jeremiah 29:11 on it, right? How many of your mirrors have Jeremiah 29:11 on it? Or how many of you have Jeremiah 29:11 highlighted in your Bible? Well, guess what? That's actually for the children of Israel. And they didn't see, most of them didn't see that fulfillment. Because 70 years is a long time. And so, friends, sometimes that happens to us. But can I encourage you, whatever the promise of God is that he's given to you, seek the Lord with all your heart, and you will find him. Because in this promise, greater than actually coming back to the land of Israel is what? That if you seek me, you will find me. That is a present day promise. If you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. I will be found of you, says the Lord. That's not a 70-year-old promise. That's a today promise. That if we seek the Lord with all of our heart, we will find him. James says it this way, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Come close to God. Are there things that we need to repent of? Are there things we need to turn to the Lord from? Are there things that we need to put right in our lives? Come close to God, because he wants to come close to you. And then this is the next section in Daniel chapter 9. It's this beautiful prayer of repentance, okay? From Daniel chapter 9, from verse 4 onwards, we see a beautiful intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer through corporate repentance invites God's mercy, aligns us with his purpose, and pleases the heart of God. Can I invite you into purposeful, corporate, intercessory, repentive prayer? That's a mouthful. But can I invite you into this type of prayer? When you hear the promises of God, don't just sit back and say, okay, God will bring it to pass in his time. No, let us respond with corporate repentive prayer. If the Lord has told us, I will give you the nations, hey, Alpha is coming up, do we just sit back and say, okay, well, God, you do what you're going to do? No, we join together in corporate repentive prayer and say, Lord, you promised the nations to us. Lord, give us the nations. Lord, we are going to pray and cry out and say, Lord, bring the nations to us. Let the light of the gospel shine forth from this place and let many come to know Jesus Christ. We are not content with just saying, God, let it come to pass. No, we want to respond in repentance. We want to respond in corporate prayer. We want to cry out to God as Daniel cried out to God. I wonder if the reason we don't see the fulfillment of the promise is because we sit back and relax instead of responding like Daniel did in repentance, in crying out to God, in sackcloth and ashes as a phrase in the Old Testament to describe such an agonizing prayer. Such a deep prayer of repentance. Lord, please do this. Lord, please do this. Lord, please heal this person. Lord, please intercede in this person's life. Lord, please bring this family member to salvation. How many of us can say that we have this deep and agonizing prayer to the Lord? In Daniel chapter 9, it says, but the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God, for we have not followed the instructions he gave us through his servants, the prophets. See this prayer of repentance, this acknowledgement. Daniel uses the royal we. Have you ever heard of the royal we? This royal we is used in the opposite way. Normally the royal we is used in a way to get out of problems. Right? It wasn't my fault. We did this, right? But it wasn't really me, you know? Daniel uses it the opposite way. And he, as the innocent person, he is the upright person. We've read through the book of Daniel. We've seen Daniel's integrity, his uprightness of heart, his loyalty to God, his unwillingness to compromise in the face of an opportunity to compromise with the world. But here, Daniel says, we have sinned, we have failed, we have fallen short, we have not done your will, we have not pleased your heart. In verse 19, it says, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, listen and act. For your own sake, do not delay. O my God, for your people and your city bear your name. Daniel is crying out here. He's pleading. Friends, can I encourage you? Can we, with one heart, in corporate repentance and prayer, cry out for our lives, for our families, for our city, for our nation, for the kingdom of God to come here on earth as it is in heaven? Can we do that? We see a similar prayer that Nehemiah prayed in Nehemiah chapter 1. And the reason I'm sharing this is because, again, remember this verse. When we get to the end of Daniel chapter 9, I'm going to come back here to Nehemiah. But Nehemiah prays a similar prayer of repentance, realizing Nehemiah is the one that's going to be sent back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he says here, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. Oh, confess that we have sinned against. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. See, Nehemiah is taking this personally now. He's not just saying we have done this. He's saying my own family, even me. Yes, me, I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commandments, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Friends, what is our response? Nehemiah knew that God wanted restoration to happen. And he prayed a prayer of repentance. Friends, what is our response to the promises of God? Is our response to the promises of God repentance, turning to God, pleading with him, asking him to bring his promises to fulfillment? In the book of Romans, it says, the goodness of God should lead us to repentance. When we see God's goodness, when we see his kindness, when we see his mercy, when we see his love, when we see all of these beautiful things that God is doing for us, when we see his promises, that should lead us to deeper, fuller, complete repentance. An acknowledgement of where we failed, where we have sinned. Can I encourage you to pray in these days? I wanted to highlight a few things that we do at Unionville Alliance for prayer. I want to encourage you to have personal and family disciplines of prayer for your own life and for your own family, and this happens at home. Can I encourage you, if you're in a life group, and if you're not in a life group, to join a life group, but in our life group, we have prayer in our life group, and this is a wonderful way that you can corporately pray together, support one another, encourage one another. I was copied in on an email even last night that one life group member was sending to their other life group members saying, can you pray for this particular thing? And it was so beautiful to see people responding and praying. And I just get to be the recipient of just, you know, praying alongside as well too, as I see life groups praying together. On Sunday morning here at 9 o'clock in the lower level, we pray together. Can I encourage you to come out just a little bit earlier? If you're coming here for 10 o'clock for our service, can I encourage you just to come out a little bit earlier? If prayer is a value, if we value prayer, if we believe in prayer, if we really believe that prayer works, can I ask you to come just a little bit earlier at 9 o'clock and pray together? We pray for 8 families every single week, along with a few other things, but we're praying through our church directory and praying for each individual family, that God would move and that God would touch. Can you join us in that corporate prayer? At the last Tuesday of every month, it's coming up, we have a monthly prayer gathering where we're focusing and praying on a specific issue, a specific topic. I think this coming, at the end of this month, I think we're praying for unsaved loved ones. Can you join us to corporately pray? Yes, the promises of God is there, but will we respond like Daniel? Will we respond like Nehemiah? Will we respond like Ezra in repentance and crying out, yes, God, your promise is there, but Lord, I want to see it happen. I want to see it happen now. I want to see it happen in my family. I want to see it happen in my life. Lord, I'm going to cry out to you. I want to see that happen. Can we corporately come together and pray? I remember when I was training for ministry many years ago, one pastor came to visit us, and it was about probably 5 or 6 of us young guys together. We were praying. We would pray in the evenings, and he encouraged us, and he said, why don't you just pick one thing to pray for and pray until that happens? And so we would do that. We started doing that. We thought of one person that we knew, he didn't know Jesus as a Savior. And so we started to pray together, and we would pray like that. Every evening that we had time together, we would pray together for that one specific prayer request. And lo and behold, it happened. God answered. And the person got saved and came to Jesus. And we were like, oh, hold on. What? We prayed and that happened. So we decided, okay, we're going to pray for this other person. And so we started praying for this other person, and lo and behold, that prayer was answered too. And it encouraged our faith as we prayed together. Can I encourage you to pray? After the service, our prayer team is here at the front. Can I encourage you, if you come with a burden, don't leave with that burden. If you come with a petition, don't leave with that petition. If you come with something heavy on your heart, it's not meant for you to leave heavy as well. Come and pray together. There's power in prayer. We have our Alpha prayer team, our summer camp prayer team, our children's prayer team, our university prayer team. We have so many different people that are praying in various ways. Can I invite you right now? Can you just stand for a moment? This is not the end of the message. I didn't get to the end of Daniel chapter 9 yet. But can you pray with me? I want to pray a prayer like Daniel. Not because I'm righteous or holy or anything, but because I resonate with a lot of the things that I fail in. Ways that I failed personally, the ways that I failed as your pastor in praying for you, in leading Unionville Alliance Church. But I think we can pray a prayer of repentance today. So I've asked you to stand so that we can agree together. But can I ask you for one more step? And it's not for everyone. But if you want to agree in repentance with me, can I just ask you to stretch out your hand? If you're going to agree in repentance, as Daniel prayed a prayer of repentance, if you want to agree in repentance with me, as I pray, just stretch out your hand as a symbol and as a sign to the Lord. Lord, I'm here to repent. Lord Jesus, we come to you today. Lord, I come to you today, and I have failed. Lord, I haven't lived up to the calling that you've given to me. Lord, I haven't been the man of God that you want me to be. And I acknowledge, Lord, to you, my sin and my failure. And Lord, I acknowledge that Unionville Alliance Church hasn't lived up to the calling that you have given to us. We have failed. We have not pleased you. And so we repent and we turn to you. We can't do this in and of ourselves. We need you. We haven't sought you with all of our heart. We haven't sacrificed with all of our heart. We haven't served with all of our heart. We haven't been committed to you in the first thing with all of our heart. We have not sought the kingdom of God first. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, answer. Oh Lord, forgive us. Oh Lord, forgive me. I need you. We need you. Change us. Let us see the fulfillment of your promises, not for us, but for your kingdom's sake, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. This next section after Daniel prays this prayer of repentance, something beautiful happens is that the angel Gabriel comes to Daniel and tells Daniel something that is good for us to be reminded of. That God hears our prayers, even though he may not answer us immediately, but he reminds us of who we are in Christ. And friends, I want to encourage you with this, that you are a child of God. Look at what it says here in Daniel 9. It says, the moment you began praying, a command was given, and now I am here to tell you what it was, for you are very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you can understand the meaning of your vision. Here, the angel tells Daniel, you are very precious to the Lord. In other translation, it says, Daniel, you are the beloved of the Lord. Friends, can I tell you that God wants you to understand that for you as well? That you are the beloved of the Lord. That you are precious to the Lord. That he loves you. In 1 John, it says, see how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children. And that is what we are. We are children of God. What a privilege that God gives to us. As we repent and turn to him and come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, he wants us to know that we are the beloved children of the Lord. In Romans 8, Paul writes and he says this, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. The spirit of God testifies of that within us. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. You know, we like to sort of finish that a little bit earlier in the verse and not get to the ending part of that verse. But if we are his children, we follow in his footsteps. So can I encourage you today? You are the beloved of the Lord. Just as Daniel was affirmed, and what God was going to speak to Daniel coming up in these next few verses, Daniel was not going to see the fulfillment of all of that. But what Daniel knew was that he was a beloved child of God. And friends, you might not see the fulfillment of the promises of God in your lifetime, but what's more important than seeing the fulfillment is the understanding that you are a beloved child of God, that you are part of his family, that he has a plan and purpose for your life, and one day for all eternity, you are going to experience that love like never before. That is way more important than actually seeing the promise fulfilled, is the understanding of who we are in Christ. Now, let me get to this difficult portion. Daniel's prophetic 70 weeks, okay? And the takeaway that I want for you, and I'm going to get to this at the end, is that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than what we ask for. Okay, and you're thinking, okay, Daniel, you just finished telling us that you might not see the promise in your lifetime. Yes, that's true. But that does it, both of these two things could happen at the same time. That we might not see the promise of God in our lifetime, but God can still do exceedingly abundantly more than what we can ask or think. They both can happen. They're not exclusive to each other. And so in Daniel chapter 9, we see this what's called Daniel's 70 weeks. In some translations, like the NLT that we read today, it's called 70 sets, okay, of time. The period of 70 sets of seven has been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish their rebellion, to put an end to their sin, to atone for their guilt, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to confirm the prophetic vision, and to anoint the most holy place. This one verse is telling you what's happening from the days of Daniel all the way till the end time. This is what God wants to do, right? God is telling Daniel there's going to be 70 sets from now till the end of the age, okay? And there's going to be to finish rebellion, to put an end to their sin, to atone for their guilt, to bring an everlasting righteousness. This is the work that God wants to do. The next verse, this is a beautiful messianic promise. It's amazing. It's wonderful. When Daniel was reading this during the service, I felt chills just listening to it because this is so amazing. Now listen and understand. Seven sets of seven plus 62 sets of seven will pass from the time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until a ruler, the anointed one, can I just put in there Jesus, comes. Jerusalem will be rebuilt with streets and strong defenses despite the perilous times. Okay, so you're seeing all 70 sets and 62 sets and seven sets and all this number. Okay, so let me summarize it for you. There's three sections in this 70 sets, okay? In some translations, it's called weeks. In other translations, it's called sets. I won't get into all the details. Join me next Sunday for our Zoom call if you want a little bit more details about this. But generally, there's consensus amongst Bible scholars that these weeks these sets represent 7 years, okay? And there's proof for this in other parts, which I don't have time to get into this morning. But these weeks represent a set of 7 years. So you have seven sets, okay, of seven. So the first section is 49 years. Then you have 62 sets of seven, so that's 434 years. And then you have one set of seven, which is 7 years. Are you with me? So 490 years altogether, 49 years, 434 years, and then 7 years. Now the 49 years, spoiler alert, 49 years, 434 years already happened. From our perspective, okay? Daniel's perspective, none of this happened. Our perspective, 49 years, 434 years, already taken place. The 7 years, that third set hasn't happened yet. That's for the end. So now there's a little pause right now between the second set and third set of sevens. So how do you explain all of this, okay? So there's two probably predominant explanations that I think are plausible towards this. Now, there's varying explanations if you go in and study some of this, but I think there's wide consensus for the following, these two options. So here's option number one. So Daniel's prophecy, Daniel chapter 9, okay, of what happens here, 538 BC, approximately, okay, that we can date that. Artaxerxes' command to rebuild the temple, okay, this happens in the book of Ezra. So Ezra is given the command, go back to Jerusalem, build a temple. Happens probably around 457 BC. You add 483 years to that, you get to about 26, 27 AD, which is a plausible date for the baptism of Jesus. Okay? So here's what's happening. God is telling Daniel, this is what's going to happen. We get the opportunity 2,500 years later to look back and say, wow, that happened. Jesus came. Daniel is over here being like, anointed one, who's this anointed one? Well, what's going to happen? Hold on, seven sets of this and 70 sets of what? This, and Daniel is confused at the end. We'll see later on in the next few chapters. Daniel's like, this is overwhelming. This is too much for me. I can't understand all of this. But we get the opportunity over here because we've seen what's happened to be able to say, Jesus came. He is the anointed Messiah. Okay, here's option number two. Okay, back again. Daniel's prophecy, 538 BC. Artaxerxes' command to rebuild Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, happened in 444 BC, another command that was given. And this is the command that was given to Nehemiah that we read about. Remember I read to you from Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah is repenting, he's turning to the Lord. He's given a command, go back to Jerusalem, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Okay? And that's the command that was given. If you remember the prophecy, when it says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, he says, it's not when the prophecy is given that the timeline starts. Okay, the prophecy is given in 538 BC, but the timeline starts when the command or the issue to rebuild Jerusalem is given. And so in this case, 444 BC, okay, it'll take you all the way to 33 AD, which is 173,880 days later. And the reason for this timing is because if you just added the years, like the calendar years that we do, it'll actually take you to about 38 AD. So it's like, hold on, Jesus died before that. How does that work out? But there's a lot of proof within the Bible to say that a calendar year is counted as 360 days versus what we count 365 days. So if you take 360 days instead of the 365 days and you add it all up, multiply by the number of years, you'll get 173,880. Now, I'm not meaning for this to be a math lesson today, but what I am telling you and what I am showing you, whichever option you take, and I think these are the two most plausible options. There are others, but these I think are the two most plausible options that I think fit the prophecy of Daniel 9 verse 25 particularly. So God was telling Daniel, my anointed one is coming. There's going to be a lot of stuff that happened in between. There's going to be a lot of things that take place, which we're going to look at next week as well, because Daniel 11 is a doozy, right? But Jesus is coming. The anointed one is coming. He is going to be established. Now, he's going to end up dying. That's what it says here in Daniel 9. He'll be cut off, right? That's what we read in Daniel 9, verse 25. But he's coming. He's going to accomplish something. He's going to accomplish something eternal. And that's why I say, in Ephesians 3, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. See, at the beginning of Daniel chapter 9, Daniel started asking, Lord, Jeremiah prophesied that after 70 years, you would bring us back to our promised land. And so that's what I'm going to pray for. And that's what I'm going to ask for. Lord, bring us back to the promised land. Restore us back to the land that you have given to us. Daniel was asking for something physical, something literal, something he could enjoy in his lifetime. Lord, bring us back. How many times we ask for things like that as well? Lord, can you heal me? Lord, can you give me a new job? Lord, can you provide for me in this way? Lord, can you do something like this in our family? And these are not bad prayer requests. These are all great prayer requests, but they're all things that we want to see in our own life. And that's what Daniel wanted to see as well. But what God told Daniel instead at the end of the chapter is something way better. If you can follow me here, Daniel is asking, God, can you bring us back to the promised land? And God says, Daniel, I'm going to do you one better. Actually, I'm going to do you 10 better. Actually, I'm going to do you a million better. I'm going to send Jesus to establish an eternal covenant with the children of Israel. And way better than coming back to this physical land, Jesus is going to come and institute an eternal kingdom that is going to last forever and ever and ever. Instead of just coming back to this physical land of Israel, I'm going to do you one better, 10 better, a million better. I'm going to forgive you of your sins. You just pray this beautiful prayer of repentance, but guess what? Jesus is going to come. And he's going to make atonement for your sins. And he's going to make a way for you to come back to God. Isn't that way better? What would you rather have? Would you rather have coming back to the promised land? Maybe we would. I don't know. Would you rather have the healing? Yeah, you know, maybe it was me. I was like, Lord, can I just have the healing instead? But Jesus, seeing beyond our lifetime, Jesus, seeing beyond our own physical trials, Jesus, seeing beyond just the limited things that are going on and this struggle and that struggle that we're having, God says, I have something way better for you. I have something that is eternal for you. I have something that transcends time. I have something that is a kingdom that will last forever and ever. I want you to be part of that kingdom, way better than a physical kingdom in this world. I want you to rule and reign with me, my children, to be with me in my kingdom. I have something way better that mind cannot comprehend, that heart cannot conceive, but it has to be revealed to us by the Spirit of God, that God wants us to be children within this wonderful kingdom that he is building. And it's going to last forever and ever. A kingdom where there's no more sickness and there's no more sorrow. A kingdom where he wipes away all tears. A kingdom where there's no more trials and temptations. A kingdom where we experience the beauty of Jesus. A kingdom where we experience the magnitude of his love. A kingdom where we can be with Jesus forever and ever. What would you rather have? What would you choose? Do you agree with me that God gave Daniel something exceedingly abundantly more than what he could ask or think? Daniel was just thinking, can we have this physical kingdom back? And God is saying, I have something way better for you. Worship team, please come. This last verse in Revelation, it says, the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. This is an eternal kingdom. Daniel was praying, going back to the Sabbath years. Daniel was thinking about these 70 years that the land is having rest and Sabbath. And that's why God is explaining these things about 70s. So that's one of the things that points us to these 70s being actual years and time span. But all of this is just temporary. There is a kingdom to come that is far greater, that is way more than what we can comprehend. And that's the goodness of God towards us, friends. Sometimes we say, Lord, why didn't you heal me? God's given you something even better than that. Why didn't you give me this job, Lord? God's given us something way better than that. Why am I going through this struggle? There's something way better that he gives to us. It's his goodness that leads us to repentance, and his goodness that prepares a wonderful kingdom for us. Let's stand and worship the Lord.